We're going to look here at Jeremiah chapter 28 in just a second. Let me give you a brief history lesson so you can appreciate what we're about to read. This is at a point where, when David came into as king, he consolidated the 12 tribes, okay? Solomon lived under that as king, ruled over the 12 tribes of Israel. After him, the kingdom split. And it split to 10 tribes to the north and 2 tribes to the south. And for hundreds of years, invariably, the 10 tribes to the north had wicked, wicked, wicked kings. And the 2 tribes to the south, which was called Judah, they were all Israelites, all Jews, but it was Israel and Judah. Well, during this time and towards the end of this time, God began to raise up tremendous prophets like Ezekiel, like Jeremiah, and they began to prophesy to Israel and say, repent. If you don't repent, we're all going to be destroyed. And they would not listen. Jeremiah, predominantly his ministry was in the southern kingdom, and he had a great affinity or great relationship, I should say, with a king called, his name was Josiah, wonderful king, died very early in life through an engagement that he had fighting. But Josiah was the last good king of Judah. And Jeremiah was prophesying the whole time saying, look, because the northern kingdoms fell first, or the northern kingdom fell first, the northern tribes. And he said, if we don't straighten up, this is going to happen to us. Well, they didn't straighten up, and the same thing happened to them. And God used a man called Nebuchadnezzar to come in from Babylon, and he just used him as a sense of correction and real punishment to the nation of Israel, because hundreds of years they went back into idolatry and all kinds of things. What happened was it finally came to the point where the southern kingdom, where Jerusalem is at, was invaded. Nebuchadnezzar came in there, took all of the, you know, ransacked the temple, burnt the temple, and took 3 successive waves of captives into Babylon. That's where Daniel goes over and different ones. But there was a remnant that was left, and Jeremiah was part of that remnant that stayed in Judah, even though Nebuchadnezzar had taken a lot of people away. Now, let's just read this, and then I'll comment, and you'll understand why in just a moment. Let's see. And let me just say this real quick. This is some of the scriptures that the Lord gave me 4 years ago, right after our political election. And it was amazing to me. I found out later that the Lord gave the same scriptures to Pastor Jim. And he did an excellent job on a sermon that he did. Now, this is not a political, I'm not really addressing anything political tonight, but you'll understand in just a moment the encouragement from it. And this is Jeremiah, verse 1, chapter 28. And it came to pass in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the king of Judah, in the 4th year of the 5th month, that Hananiah, the son of Azar, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, thus saith or speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again unto this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. Real quick, this man was prophesying, look, this thing isn't going to last. What Nebuchadnezzar did in taking all the gold and silver, I'm prophesying that it's all going to come back. It's going to be restored just within 2 years. Sounded like a real word of encouragement. Verse 4, and I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah. Now here's a bantering between 2 prophets. He said to Hananiah, in the presence of the priest, in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord. Even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. Okay, amen, I hear you. The Lord do so. I mean, that sounds like a word of encouragement. Oh, he's going to restore all this. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people, the prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war, of evil, and of pestilence. The prophets which prophesied of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. In other words, if in the past we judge this, if what they said come to pass, they were a true prophet of the Lord. If they said peace was coming and peace came, then they were true prophets of the Lord. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and break it. So he's going to really be demonstrative here. He's in the presence of everybody, the upper court. And he's really going to show something here. He break it, and Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, and this is what the Lord said to him, go tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the necks of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And they shall serve him. And I have given him the beast of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year shalt thou die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. Chapter 29. Now these are the words of the letter of the Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captive, and the priests and the prophets, and to all that the people were whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. So he sent a letter to the people that had gone. So they're in Jerusalem, they're in Judah, and This guy prophesies, oh, this is over. Don't worry about it. This is coming to an end 2 years. And Jeremiah says to him, look, you're a lying prophet. Sounded real good what you had to say, but you're a lying prophet. And then Jeremiah takes the initiative instructed of the Lord to send letters to that whole just thousands of Jews that had to be taken away captive into Babylon. Verse 2, it says, after that, Jeconiah the king and the queen and the eunuchs and the princes and the Judah and Jerusalem and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of that guy and the son of that guy and guy. Okay, go down. Okay, I'm doing the Gary thing now. That's good. I like that. Sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives and whom I have called a cause to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. This is what is the instruction of the Lord. Build ye houses and dwell in them and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, beget sons and daughters, take wives from your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek, this is key, verse 7, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in your midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed, For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name, and I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, that after 70 years, and he goes on to talk about when they would be actually delivered. And then he goes on, this is a famous where he says, I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts to bless you and bring you into prosperity. The whole thing is this, the synopsis of this is that there were dreamers, prophesiers that were saying good things, but they were doing it out of their own volition, out of their want to. Jim, in a message that he did right after our last election, and by the way, as I said, this is not a political message or exhortation. If you came to me and said, who are you voting for? You know, I tell you personally, but not necessarily here in this pulpit, I will say this. The guy that I probably would like to vote for doesn't look like he's going to be anywhere near. But okay, if it comes to it, I'll vote for a certain someone to keep another certain someone out. Do you have it? But in the last election, there were ministers that if we said their name, everybody would know, that prophesied and said, the Lord has shown me so-and-so is going to be our next president. Now, this exhortation is not just an American exhortation. This will apply to the Canadians, to the Aussies, to wherever you're watching around the world. When these people were led captive, God had a plan for them, and there were those that come along and said, they prophesied, you know, see, a lot of times people, obviously, will want something so bad that they will say, thus saith the Lord, because it's something that's coming out of them. And this is what this one prophet was doing, and then there was prophets and dreamers also that went away with them that Jeremiah had to say, look, it doesn't matter if they're here or there with you. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Here's what you should do. Set up camp. Set up residency. And whatever city that you go into, wherever you fall, if it's in Babylon itself or wherever you're at, wherever you land in captivity, pray for the peace of that city. And God, he said, will send peace in the midst of your captivity. Now listen, folks. This, a few weeks ago, and I did not plan it. It wasn't like I went in with a mentality like I've really got to address this. But the Lord came on me in a service, and it was a short prophecy, not a long prophecy, but it was a short prophecy, and the Lord began to say something about our up and coming election. And he began to say some things. He did not say who was or who would not be. And he did not say that it would not go well for us. He just said this. He said, prepare yourself, be prepared for anything to happen. And no matter how it goes, know that I'm the Lord and I'll provide for you no matter what happens. I told Candy the next day, I said, Candy, I really didn't like that prophecy. And I was the one that gave it. There's a scripture, if we turn there, for sake of time, we won't. But because we've been doing a teaching on Wednesday night concerning the book of Revelation, and we got to sixth church, which was Philadelphia, was one of the only two churches that was not rebuked. And Jesus said to the church at Philadelphia, he said, I will keep you from the great test or trial, tribulation. I don't think the word tribulation, I'm trying to paraphrase without having to go there for sake of time. I will keep you from the hour of tribulation that is coming on the whole world, on all the earth. However, it says it there, you know he's talking about basically. Now, some, and again, this is not to have any discussion about pre, mid, post, or tribulation. Some would say the church, that is a sign, because the Philadelphian church is, it's nowhere, but it's everywhere. Philadelphia, the Philadelphian church is the body of Christ, wherever it's at in the world, that is seeking God, going forward, hearing the Lord. It's one of those two churches that we can say, okay, we would want to identify with them. Christ promised, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. Some would say, well, that's us being taken out of here. For me, that's not where I'm at. I hear the message of this, no matter what comes, I'm going to be with you in the midst of it. I will provide, and this is a message to the Aussies, to the Canadians, to wherever you're at in the world. It's not, and it's America. No matter who goes in office, the Lord will provide for us. No matter where you live, God is your provider. Hallelujah. And for the ministers that may be in here or the ministers watching, God is your source. No matter what comes and goes, how many of you feel that Gary did a beautiful job being so nice to everybody last night, but boldly exposed heresy? It's just wonderful. A number of years ago, I did a message called Bayonet Fighting. Bayonet Fighting. David Braveheart would think that the way that we have war nowadays, we're sissies. Because you had your hand on the person, because of kids in here, the person that you disposed of. You were looking at them eye to eye. In the First World War, Second, there was a lot of trench fighting. I don't even know if they make bayonets anymore for weapons. But there was trench fighting, and when the enemy overran your position or you overran the position, it was face-to-face bayonet. It was no longer, now the smart bombs, we don't even see our enemy. Then, even up into the Second World War, many confrontations were like face-to-face. When you disposed of somebody or got disposed of, you were looking right in their eyes. That's tough. The message, what later became a prophecy to me, is that the teaching was that in the last days, the fighting would be in the pews. It would be so close, up close and personal in doctrinal sense, that it would be among us in the pews. Gary may not even realize this, but it's been 5 years ago. He said in my office, coming up on 5 years in May, because that's when he usually come, that he said, I'm investigating. He said, the Lord has me investigating. I don't even know if he knew how to coin it then. He said, it's a hyper grace or a radical grace message, and it's pretty rampant. He said, I'm looking at it. I'm investigating. He said, would you like for me to give you the material and you read it along with me? Or he said, would you like for me to study it and then tell you what I found? I said, you study and you tell me what you found. Later, because he kept feeding me stuff, and then I bought the book that he recommended last night and began to read, and hours and hours of just reading the actual quotes and stuff. And then later, I began to teach a series, teaching against this era that's in the church, and this heresy that's in the church. And I tried to do it as congenial as possible. I did not name names. And I thought, wow, I'm preparing our flock for when this would ever try to come to us. I'm going to give, thank God, he's warning us way before. I did not know, as a result of that, that I was going to lose elders / family members / worship team members / entrepreneurs. In fact, the first day that I taught it, I saw a reaction. I thought, no, that's just my mind. And then as I got to a point where I said something like this, I said, can you believe that these people actually teach that if you sin, you don't have to repent? And everybody, you know, kind of just laughed. Oh, no, really? People are like, I mean, is there really? And we didn't really, you know, we weren't making fun, but we was like, that seems so ridiculous to us. I saw some of these people get up later and leave. And some people said later, do you think so-and-so? And I said, no way possible, no way possible. I did not realize that they were already entrenched. And I did not realize that they had been listening to some of the men that Gary named last night for a long, long time. Now listen. So, well, they were just really naive. Don't know that. No. Listen. At least two of these people in these families, and these are good people. Good people. I see some of them every Christmas and a lot more than that. That's how close I am. They would never, you couldn't drag them into a bar. You probably couldn't get them to go to an R-rated movie. You probably couldn't. The reason why they started coming to our church years, I mean, they'd been there for like 12 or more years. The reason why they started coming is because of Gary's message, the widow's mite. That's why they started coming. They love Jim. In fact, one of them, had never been all week long to anybody's services but Jim's. And he came, man, he loved Jim. He loved his teaching. But very slowly, this teaching of what Gary was exposing, that arsenic, week after week after week, began to be sown into their life. When they left, and this is the end of the exhortation, this has something to do with our encouragement about that, money or finances. When they left, and these were big givers. In fact, one time, Candy and I, they called, one of the families called us up and said, can we come over? They said, yes, come on over. They come over, and they'd already been there for a long time, and they were not blowing hot air. They said, this is our opportunity. God has opened up a whole new avenue of business for us. These were business people. And they said, they were already really good givers. And they said, we're going to give blah, blah, blah. And I was like, my God. On a weekly basis, I said, oh my God. Well, you know, and I just thanked them for it, you know, and it was wonderful. You know what I learned? This was amazing to me. When people leave the church, now this is an encouragement to all the preachers in here or there. When people leave the church, they don't continue to send their money. What? And these families made up thousands of dollars a year in our annual income. Thousands. Have you noticed that I have not missed any meals? The Family Prayer Center of Immokalee is still going. Preach the word. No matter what nation you live in or no matter who is over us, God will provide. Preachers preach the word. If everybody leaves and you see the last person leaving and they're dragging the kitchen sink with them, preach the word. He will provide. Hallelujah. Amen.